Thank you, Wayne. It's a great joy and indeed a great privilege to come into the room and to address you all. We are so used, of course, to addressing folk in a church environment where we can see folk, but this is something quite extraordinary. We're able to communicate with people throughout the world and to share this that we have in common, our faith. I hope that those of you who are in the room today are taking this opportunity to find some rest. We do need to rest, as Wayne has pointed out today, rest in God's word. It's not a rest that is the way that we would normally rest, like dozing off in front of the TV, in front of the fire. This is a rest in which we are actively listening. If we do that, we will find, I believe, the freedom that is ours in our faith, and indeed, great peace. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that read, "The Lord is coming soon, so try to look busy." And this statement somewhat captures an attitude, I think, of many Christian folk. We are prone to a constant state of busyness. This, of course, is not just in the church. We don't need to look very far into our newspapers, and I'm sure this is the same in many parts of the world where people are working harder and longer. Fewer people are able to take annual leave or to rest. There are people working huge amounts of overtime. People have set themselves an increasingly hectic lifestyle. And for us here in Australia, I guess in many places in our world, this is having profound implications on society and on family life. It is having profound implications on our physical, spiritual and emotional well-being. And ultimately, I believe, in fact I feel quite sure, it's having a profound impact upon our environment. Sometimes when I am in penitent mood and mode, my confession, when I'm talking to God in that frame of mind, I will often say something like, "Lord, I have a cold sore, have mercy on me. I have a headache, have mercy on me. Lord, I've got a bad back, have mercy on me." Whilst I wouldn't want you to think that I was a hypochondriac, I think that indeed the ailments and things that go wrong with my body are self-inflicted. And I, like many, I suppose, justify my own busyness by calling it ministry. But the danger of that, of course, is that we must always be aware that it is Christ's ministry that we share in. It is never our ministry. I'm sure I'm not alone. All of us are called to ministry, but all of us need to balance our work with a time of peace. In Mark's Gospel, in chapter 6, at verse 30, if you'd like to look that up, Jesus gathers his disciples around him, and he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." The passage goes on, "For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." Jesus' disciples had returned from the rigors of ministry, and after telling him all that they had done, he encourages them to come away with him somewhere quiet where they could be refreshed and renewed. If you continue on with that passage, you'll see that they were disturbed, as Jesus so often was. But I'm sure that we can understand Jesus' intent. It is a great truth that we all need to hear. For our work, for our ministry to be balanced, we must allow ourselves some time of rest. This can take many forms, but every day we do need to find time to rest in God, to clear our minds of the events of the day, and to rest in his peace and in his love. I think we often feel guilty by resting a while. Many of us have that Martha complex, when indeed we should take a lead from her sister Mary. And we can experience them in Luke in chapter 10 and see Mary sitting, as we should be, at the feet of Christ. That passage in Luke's Gospel where we come across Martha and Mary is a really important one for us. If we look at chapter 10, you'll see that Jesus sends out those 70 or 72, depending upon which version of the Bible you have, and he sends them out. He appoints them and sends them out. And they return full of joy. But he says, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And this leads on to a question by a religious leader of the day, a lawyer. What must I do then to get eternal life? Jesus asks the lawyer what it says in the law, and he answers, well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself. Yes, says Jesus, you've spoken correctly. Now Luke is building up a sequence here. The lawyer wants to justify himself to Jesus, well, who is my neighbour? And Luke goes on to remind the reader that unfailing kindness, even to strangers, is only possible if we keep Jesus in mind. That is, if we pattern our lives on his. And so our ministry can only be accomplished if it moves through care and rest and prayer. If you look through chapter 10, you'll see the story of the Good Samaritan. You'll see Jesus resting with Mary and Martha, and telling Martha that Mary is the better part to rest in him. And then you'll see Jesus' teaching on prayer. The plight of those in need calls us ultimately to rest. Our rest in the Word will draw us to prayer. Prayer strengthens us to help those in need. But for Luke, there is one thing that makes a Christ-like life very difficult, and that is our wealth. And I'll come back to that in a moment. This idea of rest is enshrined in our Christian heritage, our Jewish Christian heritage, and it's central to our understanding of Sabbath. And this is what I would like to talk about most today, because I think that we have lost, particularly in this country of ours, a sense of Sabbath. Many of you may know or realise by now that I wasn't born and bred in Australia. When I first came here 25 years ago, I realised that the weekend was sacrosanct in this country. It was a time for football and for sport, for barbecues and for going bush, and all these other things that I had to get used to. There's a word they use in Australia, it says, have a good weekend. And I heard that word many times as people left the office on a Friday afternoon. Things have changed in those last 25 years, particularly in the cities. The weekend and the Sabbath have been laid to one side to some extent. We have the Jews to thank for the innovation of the weekend. No ancient society before them had a day of rest. For the Jewish people, and for us who stand in their heritage, the God who made the universe and rested bids us to do the same. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, is grounded in the Genesis story of creation, in which God rests on the seventh day after 6 days of work. Those are perhaps some of the most famous parts of our scriptures, right at the beginning of our Bibles. In taking a day of rest, we are reflecting our very being. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We are made in the image of God. Because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. In resting, God took pleasure in what he had made, and we are to join with our God in rest and take pleasure, to feel gratitude. Eucharist is an important word in our Christian heritage. It means thanksgiving, and we need this time of thanksgiving. So often we neglect our relationships by busyness. Perhaps our family life suffers. We do need to take this time of rest for the benefit of all those around us. And in this state, this Eucharistic state, as I like to call it, the state of thanksgiving, we experience with our minds and our souls that everything truly lasting and good has been given to us by God, and our hearts are filled with gratitude, with God's grace, with his love and his peace. The Ten Commandments features twice in our scriptures, and I'd like us to look at the second account, really, which is in the book of Deuteronomy. We're in chapter 4. And if we look at verse 12, it tells us something important. In the book of Exodus, there is a mention of the observance of the Sabbath. But the Deuteronomy says something important, something which leads us on to thinking of our thoughts today. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female may rest as you do. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. In the book of Deuteronomy, the call to keep Sabbath is grounded in the experience of being delivered from slavery. Now, slaves can't take a day off. Slavery isn't dead. For many today, there is an addiction to work. There is an addiction to the acquisition of wealth and position. There is an inability to rest. Work for many has become a sort of drug of choice, an addiction which numbed our feelings. It's a substitute for authentic personal relationships. It endangers our health. And ironically, it's been found that it actually makes us do less. We in Australia and in the Western world generally are burning ourselves out from overwork, and at the same time, we are creating a widening division between rich and poor. These behaviours and these patterns of behaviour disobey God's commands in Scripture and lead to sickness of body, of mind and of spirit. This sickness is pervasive and extends to every part of our creation, which, as Paul reminds us, groans with travail. How our land has suffered because we are not willing to allow it to rest. Agricultural land is really meant to lie fallow, but no, we apply more fertilizer to keep it going, and we degrade our land. In the book of Deuteronomy, we read that our land is to be rested. Now, Jesus challenged legalistic observances of Sabbath. He was critical of those who had very good views about what could and couldn't be done on this day. It's peppered throughout the Gospels. And we too need to be careful that we are not too legalistic. However, Jesus, faithful to the spirit of the Hebrew Scriptures, practiced and claimed rest. And we must do the same. We must find a time for some quiet, for some peace, where we can sit at the feet of our Lord and pray. Let me leave you with some of my favourite words from our Lord in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you that are weary and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus himself is our rest. Amen.